of the Olympics. Why are pole vaulters always good at their job? They are always raising the bar. Okay? Stan, that one's for you. Do you know why Cinderella never wins at the Olympics? Her coach is a pumpkin, and she always runs away from the ball. So she's never going to win. Never going to win. And then what kind of exercises are best for swimmers? Come on. They're pull-ups. Swimmers, pull-ups. Right, yeah. So anyhow, that's my Olympic jokes this morning. And I wanted to kind of step back and look at the Olympics. I don't know if you've heard any of the controversy with the Olympics. Have you heard any of this? Yeah. So I haven't, I heard, and I was disgusted. We were with the Action Kids up in the Thousand Islands, and I was getting pieces of this stuff, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like all this stuff of these drag queens with the Last Supper and this whole beginning event of, and this is worldwide, right? So this isn't just one country, but this is worldwide. So as anything, I start to look at it and I said, okay, this is what people are saying. So I kind of filter through some details. And I look to see what the other side is saying, the people that put it on. Okay, I obviously don't agree with drag queens. I mean, there's some disturbing things there, right? I mean, people are disturbed, and we know that there's a lot of spiritual, which what we're going back to the armor of God, because we know about these things in the heavenly realms. The spiritual is what we're fighting, right? Then you see that, you saw that at the Olympics. You see that right now. Like our culture hits this right off where we are. And I started to look to see, you know, what are these people saying? They're saying, well, we are really sorry. We didn't intend to make this the Last Supper. That was not our intent. If it was or not, right? I don't know. But their explanation of what they were doing for this Olympic event is even worse, in my opinion, for our world and for our cultures than even if they were mocking a painting. I mean, we don't want to mock Christ, obviously. But what their explanation was isn't any better. So we're going to look at that this morning. Let's open up in prayer, because we're going to be looking at the armor of God as we continue on the series. Heavenly Father, we know, Father, that we are in a battle. We know that that there's the spiritual realm that we can't see. We know that you are supreme and full authority in the heavens, and you know what takes place here, and you watch and you see, Lord. And we just ask for your armor, Father, that we can put on. Help us to be good Christians, good lovers of you, good people that want to continue to strive to love you and what we do and say. And Lord, speak to us this morning. Have the Spirit just talk to us about the passage of scripture that we're looking at this morning. In your name we pray, amen. So we're going to be looking at Ephesians 6:15. Now the Olympics. I didn't watch any Olympics. I saw that and I was disgusted. And there's a lot of symbolism that was taking place. So at the world stage, a lot of times we hear about America, we hear about it like specific countries, but now it's like at the world stage. And I didn't watch it live. I caught parts of it, even from the aspect of the pale horse that they say was unleashed into the symbolizing revelation of the pale horse of death. And a lot of these things were being, people were talking about, so what's real, what's not? This is what I do know. The drag queens are at the Olympics. Number one, that's off. Number two is their explanation of what they were portraying. They say it wasn't a mockery of the last Supper. They say it wasn't meant to intend that. A lot of Christians believe it was. A lot of people have come out and really rebuked that, and I did as well. If it was that, yes, we want to rebuke it. But they're saying that what they implied was, and this is at the world stage, the whole world's watching, 28 million people watch this thing, and they're saying it wasn't any intent of that, but what we were trying to do, what we were trying to imply, and they had this great banquet, and there was some, did anyone watch this? And there was like some half or naked man dressed like blue, he was blue, and he was on this table, and I mean, I'm just like, what in the world are these people thinking? Because their explanation really hit the topic of where we are. Their explanation was, we weren't here to dishonor this portrait of Christ, of the Last Supper. They were saying, we were here to honor a Greek god. So they're here to honor, worldwide, here to honor a Greek god called Dionysus, however you say it, but he's the Greek god. The Olympics, right? So the Olympics are Greek. It stems from the Greece time frame, sports, and then Olympia and the Olympics. The Greek god is, this Greek god is known for his, he was like the god of wine, the god of festivity, the god of madness and insanity, intoxication and ecstasy. So now that's what they said. That's who we were here to honor. My goodness, where is our world at today? And as I was reading this, the drag queen, I don't know, are drag queens all guys or girls? I don't know, like, that whole, what goes on there, right? So I don't know if this was a guy or a girl or what this person was. But this person then, once I read his or her statement, talked about the same spirit, how we got into this topic. You remember when I talked about the other week of the spirit of this guy that I met on this boat that I shared Christ with? His name was Superman. You remember? So that story took me back to the following guy of a couple years ago who was called King. Who, I'm the King. I'm all everything. I'm love. And then I met Superman, and he was all about, I'm Superman. I'm all about love. I know everything. I know all these things over above God. And as I talked to him about Christ, when I read this article from this drag queen person, the same exact spirit from, which is this Greek god, this spirit, this demonic presence is what is infiltrating these people. The same person had, I'm all about love, and they're going to curse out Christ and curse out Christians for doing all sorts of things, but they're all about love. And he calls himself the love activist, and they put themselves out there into this, all about loving people. It's all about oneness and diversity. It's that same spirit. So as we continue to look at the armor of God, so that's where we started a couple weeks ago. You remember that? And where we talked about those things taking place on the spiritual realm that affect us. This battle isn't against our battle, my battle, your battle, my battle isn't with these drag queens. I mean, it's really not. They're lost people. And they're humans. We're both humans. Our battle isn't with that specific person because it's so much bigger at this spiritual realm level. And they're blind. And people are being blinded and blinded and blinded. And that's where we get down to what we're looking at today, of where we're told how for us not to fall into that. Ephesians 6:15. Well, we're going to start actually in Ephesians. And we're going to be jumping through a lot this morning, and I'm already running late. But Ephesians 6, we're going to start in verse 10. We've been going over the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. people, he says, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the darkness world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, he says, put on the full, Paul says, therefore put on the full armor of God. That's what he's telling us to do. This battle is going on. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, verse 14, this is where we started a couple weeks ago, stand firm then with the belt of truth. About the belt of truth. Jesus Christ being the belt of truth. And we went over that. Christ, the belt of truth. Buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. We hit this the other week about the breastplate of righteousness, how God is righteousness, and then stemming it back to even how Aaron in Genesis was given a breastplate that he had to wear in the Holy of Holies when he was making a decision. So the righteousness, this righteousness, that we need to have to put on the full armor of Christ. So first we need Jesus. We have to understand the truth, and then we have to understand and live righteously. And now we're looking at this third one, which is verse 15. And with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. If you look at the King James, it's kind of funny. The King James pulls out and says preparedness, being prepared, preparation. And then if you look at the translation in the Greek from the word that was translated, it's readiness, to be ready. So verse 15 again. And with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What does that mean? If we're supposed to put on the full armor of God. Once again, my little display over here, I keep forgetting it's there. So, the kid zone. So we had the belt of truth. We hit the breastplate of righteousness. And now it's the gospel of peace on our feet. What is that? What is the gospel of peace? So if we put on the full armor of God as Christians, because this is what Paul tells us that we need as believers, as people, to avoid, to get away from the spiritual trickery, to get away from the deception, the darts, the temptations, the sinful stuff that's always being thrown at us, right? Constantly thrown at us, just like this Greek god, this demonic presence that these people, and there's actually a church, there's churches, there's people that still worship this Greek mythology god of ecstasy and wine and mockery. That's what this quote-unquote, you know, God is. It's not a God. It's these people are being deceived. Deception. So put on the full armor of God and peace. How does that look? What are we told here? So number one is, so we know the truth, we know the righteousness, and then with the truth and the righteousness, the readiness of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, which we know the gospels. We know the gospels, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ who came, who died for us, who his blood sacrifice on the cross took away our sins and rose again. If we give our belief and our love and our trust and our hope and our faith into Jesus Christ, that he has taken away our sins, then yes, we are forgiven and we walk forward following Jesus Christ. That's who we are as Christian people, right? That's where we should be at. That's the gospel of peace. The readiness. So the feet fitted for readiness. have to have this peace, because the like the Olympics. The Olympics is all about, they say, peace. So that's why I always wanted to stem this in as well. They say the Olympics is all about for these countries coming together to have peace, where it's peace, but it's all humanistic, humanism peace. It's countries. It's this peace that, yes, we want as for human aspect, we want peace. But the peace that we're talking here is totally different. This is the peace, and when we talk about the armor of God, the armor of God isn't called out here for the corporate church. The armor of God is called out specifically to the individual. The individual needs to have, and which then the individuals who we should have be having the armor of God, then we make up the church. But the armor of God, with the gospel of peace, individuals need to have a readiness with the gospel of peace. Sorry, I'm going to cough here, Roger. To be ready. Have you ever been, and I was thinking about this, what's a good example of being ready? The readiness to be prepared. Because we're told that we need to have this to be ready with the gospel of peace. This readiness. So think about dinner. How many times do we all eat dinner at night? Who eats dinner every night, right? So I was thinking, okay, this would be a good example. How many times, Dick, how many times do you probably yell up, Cheryl, is dinner ready?
Never said.
Yeah, never said. Okay, well, you need to, okay, I'm always gonna, but how many times do we say, is dinner ready? Is dinner ready? Hey, is dinner ready? What are we having for dinner? What's for dinner? Hey, is dinner ready? Probably maybe once a week. Gretchen, how many times do you say, does Justin say, hey, is dinner ready? He does. he's making it. Yeah, he's helping. So is dinner ready? What's it mean to get dinner ready? What's it take to get dinner ready? Well, there is some thought process. You know, you have to go to the store. You have your refrigerator filled with pizza. That's my favorite. But eggs, you know, butter. There's noodles. There's Mrs. Stauffer's. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that you can have for dinner, right? Bob Evans. You can have whatever. I mean, so there's, to get dinner ready takes preparation. You have to prepare, and not just, you know, you just don't walk in and say, hey, I'm going to have dinner. No, you still have to get it ready. You still have to prepare dinner. I mean, if you have a banana, okay, so let's say you're having a banana. You still have to peel a banana to get it ready. Yesterday I was mowing the grass, and I'm happy to tell you, the peaches are coming in really nice. And I was all hot, and I was like, oh, those peaches look great. So I went to grab a peach off the peach tree, and they were phenomenal. I sit there and get sick on peaches because they're so juicy. But even to pick a peach, if that's what I was going to have for dinner, I still have to pick it. You have to prepare. You have to get dinner ready. To do that, you get out the frying pans. You get out cookbooks. You might get out, even if you put it in the microwave, whatever it may be, you're getting dinner ready. Paul's saying the readiness as believers, the readiness, so us people, we need to have a readiness of the gospel of peace. So we have the gospel of peace. Once we're believers, we have the gospel of peace. And we know that Christ tells us that he is peace. For the believer, that peace gives us a whole world of different aspects and different viewpoints and different principles compared to the world. Because we're not supposed to live in anxiety. We're not supposed to live as people worried of things, where the world is full of anxiety, and so many times we are as people too, because it's a natural process for people to be anxious, right? But we have a gospel of peace. And the gospel of peace and that readiness also comes to the aspect of when we are under attack, if we have the full armor of God, if we're under attack, and how many times have people thought, am I really a believer? How many times have people thought, did Jesus Christ really die for me? Did this really happen 2,000 years ago? Was this really the Son of God? And those thoughts cross over people's minds. Why? Because it's a dart. It's a dart. The darts that come at us, this specific principle of the gospel of peace is a twofold one. The readiness for us when we are hit with doubts, when darts are thrown at us of the doubt of who Jesus Christ was and is, we hold to the fact that this is who he says he is. Christ is our Lord and Savior. He died for me, and we have peace in that, right? Where people, for instance, in the Olympics of this crowd, do they have that peace? They might have peace of, hey, I have peace that I'm going to not have to get drunk at night. They might have peace of under this demonic god of wickedness and madness of the party aspect. And that lasts for so long. At some point, when they are not intoxicated and they come back to reality, there's an anxiousness, a longing for something. And that's why so many people are longing and they don't know. Because they've been spiritually trickery. They've been deceived to think that Christians, that Jesus Christ is the bad one. The wrong choice, right? That's one aspect of the gospel of peace and being ready for that dart as Christians. The other one is to be ready with the gospel of peace. Why? Because just like a soldier, the soldiers had their belt, they had their breastplate, and they have their shoes. The shoes, their feet, it protects their feet. In battle, which was this was described as, your feet are used for two purposes. One, for if you think of a soldier, to stand your ground. They're going to stand, hold the line. To stand your ground is one, and then to advance. So as the believer, the armor of God is for standing your ground, number one. But then also for us that we're commissioned, right? We're commissioned to spread the gospel of peace. We're commissioned to continue to tell people who Jesus Christ is. We're commissioned to take that flag, if you will, and not look at people that do not believe just like us. For instance, the drag queen. They don't believe like us. They're on a different mental level, spiritual level. But we're commissioned to talk to the world. We need to be ready to continue to speak the gospel to all people, right? That's some of the readiness of the armor of God. And I think about just going back to, I was trying to think of a good example of the peace aspect of the believer. And I was thinking of Stephen. So the first martyr right after Christ, the first martyr. And we're going to jump over there. Acts. I know I'm getting down on my time, so we'll probably finish up with this. Acts chapter 7. I'm going to just start in verse 54, read this through to the end of the chapter. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their... Yep, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Why? Because he had this gospel of peace. Look, he said, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, which we know as Paul, right, who converted, and he was part of this. He's part of the whole process. Verse 59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Jesus Christ, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. The first martyr after Christ, Stephen, he had the full armor on here, didn't he? He had this piece of the gospel, even to his death. And we could go through all the apostles here, because that's historical document from scripture of most, well, it's not, doesn't say all how they died. But the apostles all died. Most of them all died by persecution of some form. Stephen here is documented in scripture, and as he was stoned to death, he was not anxious. I mean, can you imagine if someone's throwing rocks at my head and I'm getting stoned, I don't think I'm standing there. Number one, I think I'm like full out battle mode. I mean, that's how I would be. Maybe Stephen was, maybe he's tied up at this point. I don't know. But nonetheless, through everything he went through, we look at the full armor of God. Stephen had the readiness of the gospel of peace. Because at this moment, as he was being killed, he still looked to Christ. He was trained in that readiness. My question for us is, the gospel of peace, if it's part of the armor of God and we need the full armor of God to go against the schemes of the devil, against these realms of the spiritual realms, the heavenly realms where all the stuff is taking place, are we carrying that? Do we have it on right? Are our feet firm? Are our feet firm that, yes, we 100% understand our belief in Jesus Christ that he died for us? You need that, or you don't have the armor. And then, are we telling? Are we continuing to tell people of Jesus Christ? Because that's what's needed with the full armor. As we close, I know for me, I think one of the things that we need to, I know I need to remember is this is not a battle against flesh and blood. You know, when we watch our politics and we hear all sorts of good and evil of each, of everybody, and you watch the world stage and you look at the Olympics and you hear good and evil, and it's good and evil, but it's not from the humanity standpoint. It's good and evil at the heavenly realm. Where's our armor? To protect ourselves as the individual, our armor has to be solid. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm going to be selfish here. And Lord, I pray for my armor. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to help my armor strong, to grow stronger. I pray for that as for me as an individual, and I pray for every individual here, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen our armor. We're in a world that you knew what this world, I mean, it's nothing new to you. But Lord, I look at this world, I'm like, what are people thinking? And I know that it's not, the human side of things, but it's the spiritual dimension that the deception the people that are turned over to Satan that have no desire to follow who you are, Lord. Lord, help us to continue to get ready, to have a readiness with this gospel of peace, that we can be firm in our standing, understanding of who you are as our Savior, and also at the same time that we will be able to speak that to other people, because you also tell us that in your word, that we need to be ready to preach in and out of the season. Help us to be ready, Lord. Continue to help us grow in your word. And Lord, we just pray that this week, that where we see opportunities, that we will speak your word to other people. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are. Bless this day. In your name we pray. Amen.